Yes.
That was
hooray.
Okay. I can't believe it's actually done.
The diversity
hurdle.
Congratulations, everyone.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And I want to express particular thanks to Diala Kantambu and the KPSC Lab. Yes.
Yes.
Next.
Erica?
Yes.
I guess we're back to...
Article 9. I'm going to find that page.
Everything else ought to be smooth sailing.
It's Article 9. Officers
I'm
of the foundation.
I have to leave, I'm afraid.
Thanks for your help, Kevin.
Oh, the Erica. Hang on.
Kevin, I really very much appreciate your great work.
Well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed working with all of you.
Are you lying?
She's a lawyer and a listener.
I know we are.
Thank you, Kevin.
Goodbye.
We're going to go back to page 27 of the clean version of the bylaw draft, Article 9, Officers of the Foundation, beginning with Section 1. Section 1 was cleaned up to reflect some comments that we received to clarify the titles of the officers of the foundation, specifically to remove references to chairmen, which was my error, and to include chairperson, to include the possibility of a vice chairperson, to indicate that the executive director title is appropriate instead in lieu of the title of president, a secretary, and a chief financial officer.
I'm sorry, I hate to ask this, but where are we again?
No problem. We're in Section 1 of Article 9, which is on page 27.
Okay. Thank you.
And this is the explicit lyrics version of the bylaws.
Yes, thank you.
And the other change in that section would be the second to the last sentence, which also reflects comments that we received to indicate that neither the secretary or the CFO could concurrently serve as the chairperson or the executive director. Mm-hmm. And there should be one change in the last sentence, which says, with the exception of the chairperson of the board, no officer is required to be a director. We should also have chairperson or vice chairperson.
Okay.
Any comments?
Yeah, I had a question.
Sure.
I wasn't at the last meeting, but why isn't a treasurer as far as the designated officer?
Right. What I did here was, under California laws, we refer to the CFO. It refers to the title of CFO instead of treasurer. And it was my understanding that the board or that Pacifica had a CFO. So if we had a treasurer, we'd either have to have a CFO and a treasurer and come up with two different types of description for them, which we can do. Or if you guys actually use the term treasurer and not CFO, then I can put in language similar to what I did with the executive director position, saying that the CFO will be referred to by the company as a treasurer. But in the absence of that information, I defaulted to what the California law provides.
I'm kind of surprised that Carol didn't...
Article 9, Section 1.
Yes. Well, anyway, we have a treasurer and a chief financial officer.
Yes.
And we have separate...
Yes, they're two separate people and two separate functions.
And if someone provides me with that information, I'll be glad to clarify that.
Well, okay. Actually, if we haven't hired our CFO yet, we could actually give it a different title.
Well, thanks a lot, Teresa.
When we hire
them. More murky waters is what we need.
I have them
question.
Before we hire them.
I have a question.
Sure.
The word chief financial officer
means
the top financial officer.
Yes.
And that's what the law requires us to have, is a top financial officer. So the question is, instead of using the term treasurer, should we eliminate the word treasurer and go with the California law term? Treasurer is now outdated in California, and use the word chief financial officer. And then the question would be, is that what formerly was the duty of the treasurer? And if that is what the treasurer does, then we're just changing it from treasurer to chief financial officer.
So then
Wait a minute. Are you saying the treasurer is gone? No, I'm saying the treasurer's title has changed. California law to chief financial officer.
So then technically Jabari is our chief financial officer.
Under our search,
which
I thought we were conducting a search for. Well, wait a minute. We're mixing apples and oranges.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Jabari is.
We're looking at the future. That right now, Erica pointed out that the law does not have a treasurer's position. It requires us to have a chief financial officer. And we could do with that what we did with the president. The law requires us to have a president, and the bylaws say the president shall be referred to as the executive director in these bylaws. We could say the chief financial officer shall be referred to as the treasurer.
Exactly.
We could do that.
Okay, so what does that do to the interim position?
Or we can define both of them. Or we can define both of them.
Right. And if you're going to have someone who's going to, if you're going to have two positions, you know, one that's quote-unquote a treasurer and one that's quote-unquote a CFO, then you really need to define them, because then you're going to have confusion, because treasurer is a term that sometimes is used to describe someone who is a CFO.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to have both of those things, then it becomes very important to explain what the difference is between them. Otherwise, you have a lot of confusion, and then you have agency problems about, well, you know, if someone signs as treasurer, could, you know, a third party think that he is also a CFO of the company, you know, when in fact he wasn't, or vice versa. And so our goal was just to try to work towards getting rid of any kind of ambiguity on that issue. So if we're going to have both, I think we should give the titles and give the description.
Now, these bylaws have been on the table for quite some time. There's an Article 9, Section 1, Designation of Officers. Is there any motion for modification of this language?
Yes, there is a motion to modify it, and I'm not ready to finish discussing this.
Okay, well,
I don't know how to stop you,
because
there has been no call to question.
No, you know, we're getting a little formalistic here, Dave.
No, I'm getting formalistic because you're talking about abolishing the treasurer's position, and it's out of, and why?
Janice, I'm agreeing with you. Please stop shouting at me.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing.
And Janice, by the change I put in, I'm not getting rid of the treasurer position, I just renamed it, but it sounds like what you're saying is that there's somebody else who's going to be hired to have that title.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
There.
And so I think you raised a good point. If someone else is going to have that title, then we need to be clear as to what title we have here and who the CFO is actually going to be.
Excuse me, Erica?
Sure.
Jabbar, I have a question about this whole article.
Okay.
Officers of the Foundation.
Yes.
So. Typically, there have been officers of the board and then officers of the foundation.
Right.
And what it looks like here, there is a commingling of these positions. You have a chairperson of the board. You have a chairperson, a vice chairperson. Those have been people who were board members.
Mm-hmm.
Treasurer would have been a board member. Secretary would have been a board member.
Mm-hmm.
Under the current structure, the executive director isn't a board member. That's a paid employee. The chief financial officer would be a paid employee. So I'm trying to see what the separation is here, because I think much of the confusion in this discussion is, in my mind, is based on where the demarcation is between people who are on the national board who serve in certain positions as board members versus people who are hired by the foundation and serve in various office capacities under the foundation.
Paid employees.
Mm-hmm. If I might posit a notion that the title we're talking about is of a position that will be the top financial officer, of course. The question then becomes one of, shall this top financial representative, an officer of the foundation, which has a great deal of legal significance, shall this person be a member of the board, or shall they be an employee under the executive director? And that, where do you put it? Do you put it above the executive director as a member of the board, in a sense, or do you put it below the executive director as an employee hired by the board through the executive director? So the question then becomes one of, where do we position that? And
yeah.
I would suggest that the top financial officer should in fact be immediately, on the board. Should be that there needs to be administrative staff beneath the executive director managing the money. So I think that the buck's got to stop on an elected position.
No, my confusion again is the executive director, to my knowledge, has never been a member of the board.
All right,
and that's listed under the designation of officers. Mm-hmm. The chairperson, vice chairperson, secretary,
right.
treasurer, those have all been members of the board. So I am confused.
I am confused about how
you are designating officers.
Right. Sure. I can answer that question. Under Section 5213 of the California Corporation Code, it provides that a corporation, including a nonprofit corporation, shall have a chairman of the board and or a president or both, a secretary, chief financial officer, and such other officers as the board determines. And so based on that language,
those are officers of the corporation by law.
I'm sorry?
Those are officers by law of the corporation.
Right.
And they're not required to be on the board of directors. Is that correct?
Exactly.
They're not the same thing as officers of the board.
They are officers of the corporation. So the question becomes whether or not your officers also have to be directors. Generally, a chairperson of the board is a director. Generally, a vice president, a vice chairperson is also a director. But as you've pointed out, CEOs and CFOs are generally not. They're usually people who have been hired and paid by the corporation to serve certain functions. They still serve as officers of the corporation, and so they would be officers of Pacifica's foundation.
Excuse me, I want to apologize to Carol for yelling because I was really reacting to Dave's comment about how we've had these bylaws for months. And the grid bylaws did mention a treasurer, so this is... this is the sort of new wrinkle that's
right.
coming into this.
And you're right, Janice.
Mm-hmm, so I don't think we can be reprimanded for not having taken care of this before.
I was acting impatiently. I apologize.
And I need to get clear in my head exactly what it is we're discussing. I thought that the Finance Committee had had a meeting within the last month deciding the position of the chief financial officer within the organization. Now, I'm confused as to what we're saying. It seems like now we're saying that the chief financial officer will also be the treasurer. If that is not what we're saying, I need some clarity.
And let me start by telling you what I was trying to say when I created when I changed the language. What I was simply trying to do was to change a term which was referenced as treasurer to CFO to be consistent with California law references. I was not aware, though, that there was going to be a different person other than a treasurer who's going to serve in the role of CFO. And so my question that I'm now raising is that if we're going to have a CFO who's going to be an employee, for example, and have a treasurer who's going to sit on the board, then we just need to clarify what the differences are in those two roles so there's no confusion,
okay.
both in
yeah.
a procedural manner and operational manner.
Right. And this is where, again, I think
okay.
what would be clear for me is that we separate, I mean, in this section we're just designating officers, so basically you're listing what they are
right.
as a matter of law. But then we need to be very clear throughout the body how we as a foundation are going to choose to operate vis-a-vis what the duties between board members in various positions vis-a-vis these designated officers and non-board members in other positions vis-a-vis these designated officers. I think we need to be very clear on that separation in these various positions.
And I agree with you, and so I would then encourage us to turn to Section 5, Section 6, Section 7, and Section 8 of this article, which would be page 28 through, and 29, that then sets forth what we understand to be kind of the definition of the roles of these individuals to make sure that what's set forth here is consistent with the board's desires and the board's plans for the future. And so, you know, Section 5 is addressing the issue of chairperson, which is simply saying the chairperson of the board shall have present, preside at all meetings of the board, and exercise and perform such other powers and duties as may be from time to time assigned to him or her by the board or prescribed by these bylaws. Section 6 was executive director, and we got most of this language from the key draft, which was given to us back in January, you know, which is my understanding of what the straw votes have defined this person's role to be, which is to serve as the general manager, chief executive officer, and chief administrator of the foundation, who will be selected, supervised, and discharged by the board, and subject to board control, you know, will do the following things set forth in that section. Section 7 deals with the secretary, you know, which, you know, really just reflects our standard language about secretary. And then CFO language is coming from just kind of standard just standard descriptions of what CFO officers generally do, which is to keep and maintain or to cause to be kept and maintained adequate and correct books and records of accounts of all the properties and business transactions of the foundation, and that the chief financial officer shall cause to be deposited all monies and valuables in the name and to the credit of the foundation, shall cause the funds of the foundation to be dispersed as directed from time to time, and shall render to the executive director and the board an account of all his or her transactions as chief financial officer, and, you know, any other powers as determined by the board or these bylaws. If this language is consistent with what we're already doing for a treasurer, then, you know, we can deal with the name change that way. If the person who's going to be hired is going to be doing some of these things, then we need to separate them out.
Well, specifically for the language of the chief financial officer, this is not, these are not the duties of the treasurer.
Okay.
These are days. In fact, we don't have a chief financial officer right now.
Okay.
And so we have a controller who maintains the operational, day-to-day operational maintenance of the organization. One of the things we agreed that we need a chief financial officer to oversee the more broad financial structure of the organization, who can do the budgets but not have to be operationally required to deal with day-to-day operations. So that would be a paid person, because no board member who is on a volunteer basis can do all these things. That's a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be a distinction somewhere in these bylaws between people who are volunteers sitting on the board of directors,
right,
versus people who have responsibilities and authorities delegated to them, who must be operating on a day-to-day level.
Could I ask you a question, Erica?
Sure.
The law requires us to have a chief financial officer, and you're saying that this language here is what you normally put in people's bylaws. This is usual and customary, is sort of what you're saying.
Yes.
So those are the normal duties of the chief financial officer.
Yes.
And so also agreeing with Jabari, that's more than any volunteer can do. So is it normal that that person who is given the title chief financial officer is a paid employee hired for the purpose of doing this?
Yes.
So then what would a treasurer do if we had one?
To be honest, I don't frequently see a CFO and a treasurer. Generally, it is my experience that you will have a chairperson of a board and a secretary, and then you also have a CEO and a CFO. And a CEO and CFO are employees who are dealing with day-to-day activities, and then they report back to, you know, the board and the chair.
Mm-hmm.
So it is uncommon to me to see a corporation that has a CFO and a treasurer. I have seen a CFO and then a controller, so that the CFO perhaps is someone who is a volunteer, but the who does certain things, and then the controller is someone who is paid, who, you know, then reports to both either the treasurer and the executive director, or the president, and then, you know, is given certain responsibilities. But, you know, more often than not, almost, you know, all of my experiences are to see a CEO and CFO serve as employees, and these are their full-time jobs.
I have a question for Carol and for Jabari. How far along is the process, to your knowledge, how far along is the process of hiring a CFO gone?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything in weeks.
I know there were two candidates that were here in the office over the past, not this week, but the past 2 weeks, and I've talked to both of them. So I know those two candidates, and there might be a couple others that they want to allow for time to have an interview.
Well, my understanding, Carol, is that people have been interviewing out at Berkeley.
Back in December or early January, 8 people were interviewed and some finalists were sent to Dan. I never heard anything further about that until about a week or two ago when one of them went to
finalists.
Washington.
I mean, who determines that they're a finalist?
The interviewing committee and then...
And what interviewing committee is that?
Do we need to use our bylaws time for this?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's get with the bylaws.
No, but I mean, this is not...
No, I didn't determine the finalists. Dan did. Dan came out.
And my question
to
you is...
We need to get with the bylaws, George.
Okay, let me... To the issue of the treasurer...
Right.
You know, I've been in many organizations.
At all.
And usually the treasurer is just like a board... is a board member... who has a title like you have a chair usually and a secretary and a treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
The treasurer would be the person who would interface with your financial operations, whether you have a controller and or CFO or whatever. And that person would usually have some signature authority, but that would be like the contact point at the board level to oversee and monitor and be that person to have sole responsibility to make sure that the finances of the organization are working. To just give you an example for people if you
mm-hmm.
don't know, there was a union here, there's a DC Teachers Union, where they had the executive director who was basically stealing millions of dollars using union funds to buy personal goods, furs and electronics and stuff, and it was brought out that the union did not have an accountant. They did not have an accountant on staff nor a regular staff person who was even called a controller. And so therefore there was no oversight and there was no board level person who was at that position. So from the point of view, and in fact I was on my condominium association, I was a member of the board of the condominium association, but we're also the treasurer. You don't do day-to-day operations, but you make sure that role of that person is to oversee the financial operations so that one person cannot just run amok and just have signature authority and just do what they want to do. So that's typically the role of a, quote, treasurer. The CFO is exactly what you have put it here. That person has to be a paid employee. Unless you're just independently wealthy and you don't care about, you don't need other monies coming in, that's a day-to-day job. You, for all these activities, believe me, and if you've been here, you know that's a day-to-day job. And so that's something you don't put on volunteers who are board members who may not be adequately skilled to fill those roles anyway. So I agree that those positions in most corporations are paid employees
mm-hmm.
who do these things specifically because of their skills to do these things. And they have to, though, report to somebody. And generally, their first line of reporting is to, quote, a treasurer or a finance committee and not to the body of the whole because these are very detailed types of things, and you have to be able to know the language, know the jargon, know the practices and procedures.
Would it be fair then to say that the position currently held by you, Jabari, would then be thereafter termed not as CFO or treasurer, but as chair of the finance committee?
You know, it's not so much, in my mind, what you call it, but you just got to be clear. It's more important that you be clear on what the roles are and what the expectation of responsibilities and duties are. And you know, if you get that straight, you can call it whatever you think is appropriate. But you know, my concern is that all of these duties listed here cannot be done by a volunteer, and it has to be a paid person.
So then I have, I guess, two questions. Would it either A, be better to indicate in Section 8A where it talks about the CFO reporting directly to the board, that they report to the executive director, to the finance committee chair, and the board as appropriate? Or are you suggesting that we actually need to create another position called treasurer and create a definition for them?
Well, that's a discussion we had at our finance committee. I'm of the mindset that the chief financial officer should report to the board and communicate with everybody else that the position needs to communicate with. But ultimately, all of these positions, the executive director and chief financial officer, are obviously all responsible to and controlled by the board.
Right.
So are you then suggesting, Jabari, that since these are the officers we're mandated to have by law, a chief financial officer and a chief executive officer, executive director.
Right, and she called, and actually, in what I read from the language, that's usually called the president. Which
yes,
is,
yeah.
If we call that person the chief financial officer, that is who is a paid employee serving at the pleasure of the board, then are you recommending then that the CFO would report to the board?
Yes.
Okay. Do we need the Office of Treasurer?
I think we still need a treasurer.
I'm asking Zabari if we do.
I would think because you do need something. We have in the previously standing committee, you have a finance committee.
Yeah.
But you do need somebody who you can designate and be very clear that this person understands that this is their particular fine role. Because obviously, in any organization, your money has to be kept straight.
Right. So now I have another question. If we have a chief financial officer and a treasurer, are you saying that the treasurer is more responsible than the chief financial officer? And then if that's the case,
it seems like
we're violating the law.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that titularly, as a member of the board, just like you have a chairperson, you have a secretary, these are members of the board, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That I'm saying that titularly, that we understand that this role as a board member, this particular title, and filled by a volunteer board member, needs to be separately designated so that they are the first point, not the sole and last point, but the first point contact, the normal point of contact with our CFO.
Who's the top financial officer of the foundation, the treasurer or the CFO in this scenario?
The CFO.
That's where I'm confused.
No, okay. The CFO is the top financial officer from the point of view of operations.
No, from the point of view of the law.
I think that the board and the corporation can determine who a CFO should report to.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and so, you know, if the foundation is saying, you know, we want the CFO to report to the executive director and then to give reports to the treasurer, you know, on a quarterly basis, we can do that. My concern is that we have to be very clear about the limited role of the treasurer, because when you start talking about the ability to have two people sign off on things, like, in my opinion, sign off on things like, you know, checks and sign certain contracts, indicating that they are the head person. We need to be very clear about who can do exactly what. Otherwise, you're going to confuse the issue of authority.
Do you understand what I'm saying? There's also another issue involved, which is that every member of the board is a financial fiduciary.
Is a financial fiduciary.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We are all liable in the bottom line.
Right.
If we look at Section 8 where it says the books of accounts shall be open at all reasonable times to inspection by any director upon demand,
mm-hmm.
the problem that Jabari described in D.C., that would have been caught had a director done their job and said, hey, I need to check those books every now and then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's why the CFO should report to the board.
I guess my problem is just seems redundant. Fiduciary is talking about money, so I just didn't understand your
calling
a financial fiduciary. Fiduciary talks about money. That's what it means, currency.
Well, fiduciary does not mean just money. It means legal responsibility.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at the Webster, so y'all go ahead. I'm not going to argue. Go ahead. Never mind.
Well, my concern is that every board member needs to receive regular financial reports. Everyone, and even if you're not competent to read it, you need to receive it and ask questions about it so that you understand it. And so if we have a chief financial officer who's an employee, that person is going to have to report to the board.
Here's an example of what the distinction really means, and this
okay.
gets back to budgeting, the whole budgeting process that I was trying to raise and George was trying to raise at the last meeting, the finance meeting. The budgeting is not accounting. Budgeting is when the board of directors, who are the ultimate authorities and the ultimate responsible people, decide what the priorities of the foundation will be within any given fiscal year or over any other expanded time period. These priorities of what we think should be important, whether we should make capital improvements in the organizations, whether we should go into deficit spending because we want to borrow $5 million to do various things over a certain time period and we think that this is more important than some other things, whatever. Those decisions have to be made at the board level. They get delegated down. They can be passed to a chief financial officer and say, okay, you work out how we can do this.
But yeah, we agree.
But we decide what we think is important. I think one of the main problems that this board and other boards, and hopefully we can eliminate from future boards, is the understanding that, look, don't put it on your CFO and your executive director to come up with budgets. They can do the accounting process. They can do the research to establish the validity or the possibility of implementing whatever goals that you want to aspire to achieve. But those goals that you want to achieve has to emanate from the board. And that's where the board has been derelict, that we and other future past boards have not set clear visionary paths to the future so that we can give to our executive directors and, our entire operational staff.
We're getting bogged down.
We're getting bogged down. I'm going to rule as a chair that we're discussing this, and I'm well advised by Janice that this needs to be discussed, but I do think that we need to have a motion on the table. Otherwise, the language as it is stands. So what is the language, if any is proposed?
Well, the thing that has been proposed is that we have a CFO and a treasurer.
And
we need treasurer language. I would like to suggest that we don't need a treasurer. We need a finance committee.
And
that the chief financial officer is the top financial officer under the law, who reports to the full board but works through the finance committee. And that would be how it should be structured. That's a proposal.
Now, and that's currently how it is. If you look at Article 9, Section 2, the officers, which would include the CFO, shall be appointed and elected by the board of directors, and each shall serve at the pleasure of the board, et cetera. And so we're not talking any changes here unless we're going to add a treasurer position.
Right. What are you talking about, Dave? We have a treasurer.
No,
we're talking about
I'm talking about the bylaws, Janice.
I'm saying we have a treasurer, and the treasurer's duties are not here.
No.
The word treasurer does not appear in these bylaws as far as
we're saying that the chief financial officer's duties are there, and that there isn't a treasurer.
Word treasurer
and there's
does not appear
no
in these
duties
bylaws,
of a treasurer. There's a finance committee.
And the finance committee's role is defined on the top of your page 27, which would actually fall under Article 8. Section 2E, where we created a standing committee called the Finance Committee, which shall review and recommend the annual budget for board approval and shall monitor and report foundation financial activities, and shall include as members the chief financial officer or director from each radio station area and the treasurer of each local station board.
I would propose that we put the language of a treasurer in there, and that position just be designated to be the chair of the finance committee, so that it's clear there's at least one person who has board level responsibility to oversee the financial operations of the foundation.
Financial practices comply with financial policy.
Yes,
I agree.
All right, is that a legal office then? I think that's a pretty good compromise, actually.
Yeah,
I'm just asking Erica about, under the law, our chief financial officer would not be the treasurer then. Is that correct?
Yes.
Could you please repeat the language you're proposing, where the modification would occur?
That a treasurer be included and that person, that officer, be designated to be the chair of the finance committee.
Yeah,
Erica, I thought you said the chief financial officer. It's okay to have them both be separate, right?
Yes, it's okay. And if we're just saying that basically we're calling the finance committee chair, his name is treasurer. I mean,
mm-hmm.
That's basically what
right.
The amendment is.
So are you saying that in Section 1 it read, the officers of the foundation shall be a chairperson, a vice chairperson, an executive director, a secretary, a chief financial officer, and a treasurer, and in parentheses you say chair of the finance committee? that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, the question you're raising is a good one, which is where to put it.
I suggest, is that consistent with your motion, Jabari?
I can't hear you. I couldn't hear what you said.
Is that consistent with your motion?
It's not inconsistent with it.
All right, so the suggestion from Erica is, we go back to Article 9, Section 1, Designation of Officers. The officers of the foundation shall be a chairperson, a vice chairperson, an executive director, a secretary, and a chief financial officer. Now the question is the treasurer an officer under the law? Maybe
what she could do, actually, is in the following section, is say the foundation will also have a treasurer who will serve as the chairperson for the finance committee.
That's what I was going to suggest.
Right.
The next sentence would then, the foundation shall also have a treasurer who shall serve as the chair of the finance committee and may also have at the discretion of the board of directors one or more assistant secretaries. How's that?
Jabari. Is that an acceptable modification to your motion?
Could you say that again?
All right. The foundation shall also have a treasurer who shall serve as the chair of the finance committee. That would be the second sentence. And may also have, at the discretion of the board of directors, more one or more assistant secretaries.
That's acceptable.
That's good?
Yeah.
Okay.
They also have what secretaries?
One or more assistant secretaries. That's it.
Now, is that an officer? Is that an officer of the foundation, or an officer of the corporation, or an officer of the board, or neither?
I mean, technically, by its own definition, it's just a chair of a committee.
Okay.
I mean, that's what we defined it as, but it would be an officer of the board.
Right, but not a legal officer of the foundation. What you're trying to make sure we're clear about. The legal officer is the chief financial officer.
Right, and you know what happens is if the treasurer's sole job is to chair a finance committee, then it doesn't have the authority of the CFO, which is set forth later on in Section 8.
Okay, so can we call the question on this one and move on because we're
using up
a lot of time.
Right. The motion is that the foundation shall, in Article 9, Section 1, add the language, the foundation shall also have a treasurer who shall serve as the chair of the finance committee,
mm-hmm.
and may also have, at the discretion of the board, one or more assistant secretaries. I would be concerned. Article 9, Section 1 talks about officers. If the treasurer is not an officer, this is an inappropriate location for this language, and it should instead go to Article 8, Section 2, Understanding Committees, inserting the language that the chair of the finance committee shall be designated the treasurer.
I have a question for Erica.
Mm-hmm.
Do officers of the foundation are limited to what California state law is? Can you designate someone as an officer if you so desire? In addition, if you met the requirements of California state law, can you have additional ones?
Yes.
So
you can, but the issue I think that Dave is raising is if your role is not one that's truly of an officer, which in the case of the treasurer, he's really he or she is just serving as the chair of the finance committee.
Then he shouldn't be here.
Should you actually just put it under section 2E of Article 8, which addresses the issue of committees? And I think it's an excellent point. I think it's the issue of comfort. My primary concern is just making it very clear that the treasurer is a different position than that of CFO, so there's no confusion. And I think if you do move it as Dave has suggested, it helps to decrease any likelihood of confusion, if that's something which the board is comfortable with.
Well put, Erica.
Okay, so let's go back to that section then. I mean, somewhere or another, we have to provide.
There's a motion on the table. On the table is from Jabari.
No, it was my motion.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Boom. Sorry.
And so I want to go to modify understanding committees. Go back to that. We've got coordinator, governance committee, technology committee, programming committee. Finance committee, which shall review and recommend the budget for board approval. And shall include as members the chief financial officer, a director from each radio station area, the treasurer of each LSC, the chair. I find it very awkward to put where the treasurer is the chair of the finance committee there. It just seems very awkward. Can you look at that language and see how to do that? I mean, functionally, we've got to have an election. We're going to elect a treasurer who's going to serve his role or hers is to chair this committee.
If you say a finance committee, and then insert, the chair of which shall be deemed the treasurer, or titled the treasurer.
Uh-huh.
And continue.
Which shall review and recommend the annual budget, right? You're at E, correct? On page 27?
Yes.
Yeah, section 2 under E, a finance committee, add the language, the chair of which shall be titled treasurer, and then proceed with the language.
Okay.
Is that acceptable?
Yeah, that's my motion.
Second? Is there a second?
Eve, you're second.
Discussion?
I have one question. Jabari,
mm-hmm.
Do you consider yourself an officer?
Presently or under this mic?
Presently.
Yeah, because under the settlement agreement, there were three officers. There was the chair, the secretary, and the treasurer.
Okay, do you have a problem with this?
No.
Will be as strong?
No, my concern is this, that the board needs a point person to be designated to look at this and be concerned with this and be solely responsible for this.
And you don't have a problem with the fact that this person is not an officer like the chairperson and the vice chairperson and the secretary?
Well, they're all board members, so from that point of view, those are titular things.
Okay,
they're all board members.
That's all I needed to know.
Right.
I'll point out that the Oxford English Dictionary entitled fiduciary describes fiduciary as trustee. Okay, anyway, so there's a motion on the table. Is there any further comment? Hearing no further comment, the question is called, and we'll take a vote in just a moment. And let's go. Pete?
Yes.
Anna?
I abstain.
Carol?
Yes.
Although yes. George?
Let me think about this for a second.
Teresa?
Yes.
Bob? Rob?
Yes.
Jabari?
Yeah.
George?
Yes.
Okay, that's all the yeses with Janice's abstention.
I have one additional question. Is it the board's intention that the treasurer be someone who is from the national board and not from the local station board? Because if so, we do need to clarify that.
Yeah, treasurer is a national board member.
Okay.
Treasurer must be a national board member. Is there any objection to that?
No.
No.
No objection? By no objection, we'll say acclamation that amendment will be inserted by Erica.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much for pointing that out, Erica.
Okay.
Next.
Let's see. Going back to Article 9, just trying to flip through, see if there's any other...
I have it's a Scrivener's error, perhaps,
sure.
Or just a constructional concern regarding Section 3, Sub B.
Mm-hmm. Of what article?
Article 9, Section 3, Sub B, removal and resignation of officers. And it just strikes me as odd to say that any officer may resign at any time by giving 30 days written notice, and it shall take effect upon receipt or at any later time specified. Well, what does 30 days written notice mean at that point?
Yeah, that's actually...
It's 30 days in advance of what? If there's no time constraint, I think that may resign at any time, eliminate, quote, by giving 30 days written notice to the board, unquote,
okay.
Eliminating that phraseology. Because, again, it just isn't...
How about just say, by giving written notice to the board?
By giving written notice, there you go. So by taking the word 30 days out?
Yeah.
Is there any problem with that, Erica?
No.
Any objection?
Could you repeat that again?
Under Article 9, Section 3, Sub B, first sentence, eliminate the phrase 30 days.
So it goes, any officer may resign at any time by giving written notice to the board. Any such resignation shall take effect upon receipt of such notice or at any later time specified therein.
So forth. Okay. Any objections?
All right, that's good.
Bring none. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, next.
Are there any other comments for Section 9? We've talked about all of the major changes that we made.
Yes, I have a question about Section 2, election of officers.
Sure.
Some of this is just language. Some of it is maybe dealing with the appointed, elected. Okay, the officers of the foundation shall be appointed, presumably by the national board?
Well, it says appointed, not presumably. It says appointed and elected by the board of directors.
Right.
Okay. And so, sir, with the exception of the executive director and chief financial officer. Okay, is removed otherwise. Da, 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 da. Okay, is it specified how the, because, is it specified how the ED and the CFO become officers?
How they become officers?
Yes.
Meaning how they're elected? Are selected, because if you go back, give me just a second to cross-reference.
Hired.
There is a section.
I mean, when they're hired.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't say, in the first sentence, it doesn't say anything. It said appointed and elected, but it doesn't say hired, appointed, and elected.
If you go to Section 6, I'm sorry, Article 6.
Article 6?
Uh-huh.
Article
6.
Six.
Section 1E.
Article 6. One, okay.
E, and one E talks about the specific powers and duties of the board, and you go to item 5. The powers and duties of the board shall include but not be limited to appointing, supervising, and discharging the foundation's executive director, chief financial officer, and all foundation officers.
What legally does appointing mean? Is that the same as hiring?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Any other concerns or questions with regards to Article 9? Hearing none, we proceed.
Sure. Okay. Next one. Next article is Article 10. There are no changes there since the last draft. Are there any questions?
Hearing none, let's proceed.
Article 11 deals with the indemnification of directors, officers, delegates, and employees. Pretty much the only changes we made in here were to correct, typos and cross-references. Are there any questions with regards to this Article 11?
Discussing indemnification. Hearing none?
Moving on to Article 12, which begins on your page 32.
Corporate records, reports, and seals.
That's it.
I thought no animals are supposed to be injured in the production of these bylaws. What's the deal?
I have one comment about Section 4 of Article 12,
okay.
Members and section rights.
Section 4, Article what?
Article
section
12,
right.
Section 4, members and section rights.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It says that members shall have the following inspection rights. It doesn't have the preamble language from the California Corporations Code that gives the foundation the opportunity to give a member a reasonable alternative. And I am concerned about that. I don't think the foundation should turn over its membership list.
Yep.
Therefore, the law does provide us to give a reasonable alternative, and I'd like to see that language in there.
Are you referencing sections?
6330 says subject to section 6331 and 32, and unless the corporation provides a reasonable alternative
under subdivision B.
Yeah, pursuant to subdivision C, a member. Can we just get the reasonable alternative language in there? A reasonable alternative is if a member wants the list to do a mailing to the members that is related to corporation business, such as soliciting signatures for proxy or soliciting signatures for a recall petition. The foundation can do the mailing for them rather than give them the list.
I don't have a problem with that.
Well, do we need to have specific language in order for this to be...
No, just provide a reasonable alternative.
Okay. Any objection?
I have a question.
Sure.
Does an officer of the board, or no, does a board member have a right to visit the facilities?
Yeah, but we're not there yet.
Okay.
That's director's inspection rights, which comes
above it.
Actually above it.
Yeah, we actually have it.
Okay, just once to be sure, I hadn't thought about that until now.
Right.
Okay, so the Article 12, Section 4, offer of a reasonable alternative relative to access demanding list.
Yeah.
Subject to
that's that A, correct?
It's just get the reasonable alternative for, language in there, and it would be in there relative to everything there.
Yeah.
Under members of
the
section.
Is there any objection? Hearing none.
Okay.
Teresa, you had a query regarding access.
No, I see it now. I see
section
it now.
3.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
There, I think there was one other. If there's anything else that was changed in that section. Those were the only changes. If there are there any other questions for Article 12?
Moving right along.
Okay.
Okay.
Article 13, page 35. This is a policy that was initially presented under the key draft proposal that we just attempted to tighten a little bit.
Okay, Article 13, I'm sorry, what?
No problem. It's Article 13, Conflicts of Interest, page 35.
Conflicts of Interest.
You know,
I'm
very sorry.
Scrolling down.
I'm going through my notes here. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. There is something from the KPFK lab relating to Article 12. I apologize, but could there be language in there with regards to... members' inspection rights. Language to the effect that Pacifica provide as much openness to records as the law permits. I didn't write this one, okay, but it's the KPFK lab. It's a good one. It's good language that we provide as much openness to records as the law permits. That would be under Section 4 of Article 12, Members' Inspection Rights.
Under Section 4, you would want that?
Well, it's already in B, but to inspect at any reasonable time, the books, records, or minutes of proceedings. Isn't that it?
Yes, but the language that KPFK wanted added in there is that as a policy, Pacifica permit as much openness as the law allows.
I'm scrolling. I'm scrolling around here trying to go back.
It's page 33.
Article 12.
Section 4, Members' Inspection Rights.
Okay.
Where we just were.
The following inspection rights, but only for a purpose reasonably related to such person's interest as a member of the foundation. It is the policy of Pacifica to provide as much openness as the law permits. That would be the language added in the language of Section 4. Is the policy of Pacifica
what
provide
does
as
that
much
mean,
openness
David?
As the law permits?
Yeah.
What's the meaning of this is not contained in the language of the bylaws that we have before us?
To say that in err on the side of openness, basically. Just for
so
them to say, wait a second, we've got to provide as much openness as possible. So they say, well, we're not sure if we should give this information out or not. This should be given out if you're in doubt.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think people want to come in and see internal memos and communications between employees and all of this internal stuff. I think it's overly intrusive and and unreasonably burdensome. I think that the members should have the rights provided by law, which is to inspect at any reasonable time, the books and records and minutes of proceedings of the members in the board and committees of the board, and that they should have access to our membership list to do a mailing to the members for members' business, and that we can't run this foundation any other way without grinding to a halt.
Okay, is there a second to my motion? Wow, okay. Moving right along. Should have done that first, huh?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. I'm sorry.
Moving right along. We were at conflicts of interest.
We went back to conflicts of interest. The primary changes that were made were, one, to include under Section 1 definitions of an interested person, to include the associate station reps as well as members of the local station boards. The policy, as originally drafted, when given to us, did not make reference to any local station board, so we basically changed all the language throughout to include delegates and local station boards.
Excuse me, where are we at?
I'm sorry, we're on...
Article 12, Section what?
Oh, no,
Article
13. We're on Article
13
now. Conflict of interest. So Section 1, definitions. The second definition is an interested person. And we added into that definition associate station representatives as well as a member of a committee of the board or local station board.
Okay.
If you go to Section 2, conflict of interest defined, to each of the subsections of that section, A, B, C, D, E, or F, where there's a reference to a contract or transaction between the foundation, we also added, or a foundation radio station.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
And we basically just made changes throughout consistent with those two general changes.
Great.
Any questions or concerns on that section? I'm quite concerned relative to the election supervisor and committees. Is there a prohibition relative to conflict of interest or that they not be interested persons?
It actually does not currently reference election supervisors, though. If we're going to, I guess the question becomes, currently we don't have elections committee, but if we did have elections committee and then they were put under the elections committee, then they would be a committee or a member, but currently they are not. They're kind of freestanding right now.
I'm unclear on the question. The election supervisor is somebody who we're going to appoint, who is an outsider, who's not a director, not an employee, not a local board member, none of those things. So we're hiring, or perhaps that person would be so generous as to volunteer, who has expertise in supervising elections.
Is there any concern relative to this that warrants language in anyone's mind? Hearing none? Any other concerns relative to Article,
13.
Hearing none, let's proceed.
We now proceed to Article 14, which deals with voluntary dissolution and prohibition against sharing foundation profits or assets. There are minor changes for typo purposes to that section, but no other changes since our last draft. Are there any questions?
Well, it may elect to voluntarily dissolve the foundation. It's just a typo in the first thing.
Members of the foundation may elect to voluntarily dissolve the foundation in the following manner.
Yeah.
Is this necessary?
Dissolution?
Yeah.
It's necessary for one major reason, and that's because the manner in which the foundation wants to do it is contrary to the method which is set forth in California law. So if you want to do something in a manner that's different from how the law provides it, you have to set it forth in the bylaws. Otherwise, the default law would apply.
I'm not clear on just what you said. There's a method that is already in place?
Right. California law has certain provisions already on the issue of dissolution, and those rules would reign unless you come up with language which is contrary and put in your bylaws, and then it would... it supersedes whatever California law says. And to the extent that the straw polls I received wanted language which was contrary to the method set forth in California law, we had to add a section on this.
That's approval of the listeners, of the members, right?
Yes.
And
this petition process.
Yeah.
Okay, my question was, under the current bylaws and under any previous bylaws, this was never part of those bylaws, right?
Yeah, it was.
It was?
Mm-hmm.
there was a section on death.
Yes, been in there from the very beginning.
Yeah, because yeah,
I our bylaws have to have that something.
Yeah, it was under the key version that was given to me back in January, and we just tightened it up a little bit.
Even Murdoch's version 2.5 years ago had one.
Okay. Under the ones we have now, there's because I don't remember seeing it, that's all.
Yeah, this has been here all along. Is it controversial or can we move on?
Motion or discussion relative to Article 14?
No.
Hearing none, let's proceed.